Let's thank Ansley and all of our frontline singers and musicians and band leading us into the presence of God tonight. Don't you appreciate them? Praise God. We also appreciate all of our parking lot workers who were out there in the hot sun. It heated up this afternoon pretty good, and they served us faithfully out there in the hot sun. Can we show our love all those parking lot workers and our ushers in here, our camera workers, people up in the video room, our sound crew. There are a ton of people who are just working to serve us all. Give them all a big hand. We appreciate every single one of them. Praise God for them. Glory to God. You have your Bible tonight. Let's go to Matthew chapter 14. We want to start in Matthew chapter 14. The title of this message tonight is He is an On-Time God. You're on your way to Matthew chapter 14. We're going to begin at verse 28 whenever you get there. But our God, He's an awesome God. He's an on-time God. I said He always shows up. He's always on the case. You know, you and I, the Bible says we slumber and sleep. He never slumbers or sleeps. He's always on the case. Aren't you glad about that? I said He's an on-time God. You know, I've been working here at the ministry for 18 years, but before I worked here at the ministry, I had a different career in business. You know that. I worked for FedEx for many, many years as a senior manager. And you know, our corporate mission statement working for FedEx all those years, you know what it was? The world on time. Everything we did, we were cognizant of time. How much time does it take? The company made billions and billions and billions and billions of dollars with an emphasis upon being on time. Everything I did as a FedEx employee, it evolved around time. At 11 o'clock at night, I could see what packages had been shipped earlier in the evening at say 9 o'clock California time. I could see at 11 o'clock what packages had been shipped to Tulsa from the West Coast. I was already making plans for 6 a.m. in the morning. At 11 o'clock at night, I could see what they were loading into the planes. Wow, we needed to get the world on time. Surgeons needed their scaffolds. Doctors needed medicine. Businessmen and women needed their documents and all of it. So very important to just to have the world on time. I've said before, on one Sunday after church, I was in a tie and suspenders, and I got a call from the Tulsa Oilers hockey, the marketing manager, and the marketing person said, she said, I messed up. Oh, I messed up bad. She said, they're having their first game, their first hockey game, the Tulsa Oilers. And she sent the hockey pucks for the wrong delivery date. So they were in our system. They arrived over the weekend, but they weren't supposed to be delivered till Monday. Now she's got a Sunday hockey game. And she said, my neck's on the line. And she said, Manager Ray, my neck's on the line. She said, I wasn't thinking. I got my dates mixed up. And we're having a hockey game tonight, Sunday. And she said, and I had the things ready for delivery Monday. And I looked in our system. I could see they were flown in out at the ramp. They're sitting in 3,000 pieces of freight. It's a small box sitting in 3,000 pieces of freight. But our model, it was the world on time. You know what I did? I zoomed over there and in my suspenders and my tie, dug through all those packages till I found those hockey pucks. The world on time. And you know, back then, you know, I won, you know, that my God blessed me and gave me such success. I just give him all the glory. And he gave me ideas I never would have had, gave me thought patterns I never would have thought, told me to do certain things I never would have done. And I acted on those things. I worked hard, did those things, and led to success there. And twice we won Senior Manager of the Year. One year when I won Senior Manager of the Year, I won it because of what the company called impeccable outstanding service, on-time service. And do you know, our standard, our corporate standard, nobody would have known this from, you know, from the outside, but our corporate standard at that time was 97.5% service was considered impeccable service. In other words, if all the packages you had to deliver, if you delivered 97.5% of them on time, that was considered by industry standard impeccable service. And that was higher than the post office, that was higher than UPS, and I can hear all my post office friends and UPS friends debating with me now, but I won't answer their silent challenges. But that was the highest in the industry at that time. And I don't know, I've been gone for 18 years, so I don't know what it is today, but 97.5%. My stations here in Tulsa that year delivered 98% service. And Brother Bill won Senior Manager of the Year, 98% service. Yeah. But you know, you figure at 98% service, and at that time, one of my stations was receiving about 5,000 packages a day to deliver. And so, you know, you figure that out, go 1% or 2% of 98% service is what I delivered. So you go 2%. What are you saying? So basically disappointing 100 customers. It means that, to have 98% service, there were 100 customers that didn't get their package on time. Think about that. Out of 5,000 people, 100 of them didn't get their package on time. That was considered impeccable service. I won Senior Manager of the Year with that. So what are you saying? God, our Heavenly Father, He has 100% on time. I said He's an on-time God 100% of the time. So even weak corporate standards can't compare to our God. He's an awesome God. I told you to go to Matthew chapter 14, verse 28. Peter found out He's an on-time God. Matthew 14, 28, I'm reading from the New American Standard. Peter said to Him, "Lord, if it is You, command me to come to You on the water." And He said, "Come." And Peter got out of the boat, walked on the water, came toward Jesus. But seeing the wind, he became frightened. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out His hand, took hold of him, and said to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got back into the boat, the wind stopped, and those who were in the boat worshiped Him, saying, "You an on-time God." No, they said, "You certainly are God's Son." But they might as well have told Him, "You're an on-time God." Because Peter was able to recognize that even while he was sinking, before he could go under and drown, even though he had experienced fright from the wind and the waves, and he began to sink, and Jesus just reached out and grabbed him. He's on time. I said, God is always on time. One of the greatest attributes of God is His faithfulness. He is always on time. He's always there for you. He's an on-time God. I've shared in my testimony so often when I first became a Christian, I had first gotten saved and the Lord was teaching me how not to worry and how worry was a sin and how I needed to turn trouble over to Him. And I had been to see my mom at the hospital and she was having surgery, and I'd driven back to where we lived in New Jersey in Ewing Township, just outside of Trenton. And I'd driven from there, and I needed to get an important phone call. Back in those days, you sound so old when you say this, but there was no cell phones back in those days. How many can remember when there were no cell phones? Oh, okay, I got a big part of the crowd. Y'all old. No, no, we're not old. We're just technologically advanced. Anyway, there were no cell phones, and I had agreed to be home at a certain time to receive a phone call, and it was about my college, about Rutgers. And so I got home just in time, maybe 5 or 10 minutes before I was supposed to get the phone call, and I went and I locked myself out of the house. I could not get in the house. And just right on time, the phone call came. I was on the back porch. I checked all three doors to the house. They were all locked tight. I had locked myself out. The only thing I could have done was broken the window. That was going to create another problem because my mom was in the hospital, and that was going to leave the house unsecure. I couldn't break the window. Anyway, with the door in my hand, I said, "Father, I need Your help. I need to get that call." That locked door just opened. The door just opened in my hand. And I went inside astonished and answered my call. But I was thinking, He's an on-time God. I was thinking, any God who can open a door in your hand, He's an awesome God. I said, He's an on-time God. I said, He's a God who's worthy of our praise. He's an on-time God. And Peter found out this day, he found out, oh, wait a minute, my Father, He's an on-time God. He's an on-time God. And go with me to the book of Acts chapter 12. That was Peter on the water. He found out that the Lord Jesus was an on-time God. Here in Acts chapter 12, you know the first verse, Herod has arrested James, and he executed James. He martyred him. He cut his head off. And then when he saw that it pleased the Jews, he arrested Peter, and he was going to do the same thing to Peter, martyr him, cut his head off. And when we pick up the story in chapter 12, verse 3 of Acts, when he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to arrest Peter also. And now it was during the days of unleavened bread when he had seized him and put him in prison, delivering him to four squads of soldiers. That's 16 soldiers guarding him, intending after the Passover to bring him out before the people. So Peter was kept in prison, but prayer for him was being made fervently by the church to God. Verse 6, and on the very night, everybody say on the very night, when Herod was about to bring him forward, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and guards in front of the door were watching over the prison. First of all, that's just outstanding. I love this. I love this version of this passage of scripture, because, you know, Peter knew something about resting in Jesus. Think about that. How many of us would actually be sleeping if we had been arrested? Our head was going to be cut off the next day, and we had 16 soldiers guarding us. We were chained and shackled, and 16 soldiers surrounding us. And you know the next day you're going to lose your head. How many could sleep like that? You know, Psalm 4, verse 8 says, I will both lay me down and sleep in peace, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. I said, if something's keeping you up at night, God don't want anything keeping you and I up. The Lord Jesus, he is also, the Bible says, he's the Lord of peace. Read 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. He's the Lord of peace. I said, amen. And whatever's going on down there at your job, he's the Lord of peace. I wish I had a bigger amen than that. Whatever's going on right there in your family, he is the Lord of peace. I said, I wish I had a bigger amen than that. Whatever's going on concerning the roof over your head, he's the Lord of peace. I wish I had a bigger amen. I'm doing a bigger, better job preaching than y'all are saying amen. It doesn't matter what's troubling you, what keeps you up, what's worrying you. Somebody said, well, I'm worried about my children. I'm worried about my body. I'm worried about what's going on in my finances. I'm worried about whatever, all the COVID talk and all the discussion about that. He is the Lord Jesus. He is the Lord of peace. Glory be to God. And Peter knew that. And Peter was sleeping the night before. He's about to be executed. He's sleeping like a baby. He's sleeping so soundly. Verse 7 said an angel showed up and smote him in the side. The angel had to hit him to wake him up. You know, if it had been me sleeping, I might have been sleeping with one eye open and said, that's you, Lord? Is that you? He knew something about experiencing the peace of God. And God doesn't want anything troubling you and I. And Jesus is the Lord of peace. He paid the price so that you and I, even during times of adversity, even during times of difficulty, we can remain and be at peace. I said, I wish I had a bigger amen than that. I remember when my dad died in 2014 and I had flown home with lots of responsibility. I'm the youngest member of my family, but my dad asked me to be the executor of his estate. And I had all of my sisters to think about, getting them there, getting them back home, those who lived further away, and cousins and relatives. It's just a brutal, brutal snowstorm the morning of his funeral. I was preaching the funeral. I had set everything up. I did my dad's, the video, I'd set up all the music, everything, you know. And oh, man, you know, once the day was over, I hadn't eaten anything. I got everybody where they needed to go, and I realized it's in the afternoon. I haven't eaten anything, and I thought, well, man, I need to stop and grab something. And I never forget. I stopped at a, I saw a Burger King, and I stopped at a Burger King, and you know, I don't know anybody there in New Jersey. Been gone so long, and so anyway, long story short, I ordered my chicken meal, when I went to pay for it, I'm at the drive-thru. Went to pay for it. The lady at the drive-thru said, the car ahead of you, they asked to pay for your ticket. I said, what do you mean they asked to pay for my ticket? He said, they just looked up in the rearview mirror, they asked for your ticket, and they said they wanted to pay for the ticket. And they paid for your meal, and then they asked me for the receipt. And I was looking puzzled, and they said, so they took your receipt, and they wrote something to you on the receipt, and then they gave it back to me, and they told me to give it to you when you pull up to the window. And when I pulled up to the window, and that car sped off, when I pulled up to the window, on the top of the receipt, it said, God loves you. Yes, it did. And they had paid for the meal. And then I looked at the receipt. I sat there just like, God, thank you. I sat there, and as I was thinking about what had just happened, I was looking at the receipt, and at the bottom it says, your server today was Jesus, I'm sure was his name, but spelled J-E-S-U-S. Your server today was Jesus. Yeah. With a big God bless you at the top, paid for my meal. And I sat there in the car, and the Lord reminded me, I know where you are. I know exactly what you're going through. I know exactly what you're dealing with. I've died to give you peace in every situation and circumstance. I want you, even in this circumstance, to be full of my peace. I said, even when you can't see it, he's working for you. Even when you can't feel it, he's still working. He never stops. As we say, he never stops. He never stops working. Praise God. And so verse 7 of Acts chapter 12 says when the angel came to get Peter, so Peter was kept in prison, verse 5, but prayer to him was being made fervently by the church. 6, on the very night when Herod was about to bring him forward, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound between two chains. Guards in front of the door were watching over the prison. Verse 7, here we go. Behold, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared. A light shone in the cell. He struck Peter's side, woke him up, saying, get up quickly. His chains fell off his hands. The angel said to him, gird yourself, put on your sandals. And he did so. And he said to him, wrap your cloak around you and follow me. And he went out and continued to follow. And he did not know that what was being done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. And when they had passed the first and second guard gate, they came to the iron gate that leads into the city, which opened for them by itself. And they went out and went along one street, and immediately the angel departed from him. What are you saying, brother? Peter recognized that we serve an on-time God. What is it you're needing from the Lord tonight, my brother and sister? I don't know what it is. I don't know your situation, but I do know this. God is always on time. And I know this, if you'll trust him, if you'll believe him, if you'll sing his praises, if you'll exalt him, in spite of whatever difficulty you may be going through, he's an on-time God. Somebody said, well, brother, you should have read the book of Job and seen all the stuff that happened to Job. If God was so on time, how come Job went through all that stuff? Well, you never read the end of the book. God blessed Job with twice what he had. Everything Job lost, God restored to him and restored to him twice what he had. I said, he's an on-time God. And sometimes our time frame and our thinking is different than his. But you know, 2 Peter 3:9 tells us this way that, you know, God, a day to the Lord is like 1,000 years to you and I. 1,000 years to us is just like one day to him. You know why? Because we are limited. We are bound. We are finite. As human beings, we live in this earth realm. We are boxed in by space and time. I said, amen. And so because of that, we think with a space and time perspective. But God operates outside the box, outside the realm of space and time. He can do anything he wants, whenever he wants. And he's always on time. I said, I wish I had a bigger amen. I said, he's always on time. Paul and Silas found that out. Don't go there, but Acts 16:25, you know the story. At midnight, they were praying, singing hymns of praise to God. They had been beaten, bound, their hands and feet fastened in the stocks, all for being on a missions trip, preaching the gospel. But they began to exalt the Lord. They began to magnify the name of Jesus. They began to sing hymns of praise. They began to honor their heavenly Father. They began to lift up his name. They began to worship him. The Bible says the prisoners were listening, and an earthquake hit that place. Everybody's chains fell off. I said, he's an on-time God. God knows how to get you that job right on time. He knows how to bring you that house right on time. He knows how to provide bread for your table right on time. He's the God. In fact, he looks ahead and then he provides. I said, I wish I had a bigger amen on that. He looks ahead in your life. He can see what's coming 6 months from now. He can see out in your life a year from now. And he's providing for you right now today based on what he sees out there in your future. I said, he's an on-time God. And he's worthy of our praise. Yes, he is. And I want you to remember this tonight, that there, I just in our time that we have left, I want to use this time to share with you four critical things that you need to remember about God being an on-time God. And my memory goes back to my son, Stephen. He played football when he was younger. And I don't know, Stephen was 12 or 13, and he was playing wide receiver, number 21, for the Broken Arrow team. And I never forget, we were playing our arch rival Union, and Union had beat everybody that year, and we were playing them, and the game was coming down to the last quarter, and we were behind a touchdown. And I never forget what happened. Stephen's coach, he had a coach who, you know, the head coach, but then there was an offensive coordinator who called all the offensive plays. And the head coach, he hadn't called a play all day, but I never forget watching from the stands. He came over to the offensive coordinator, and they were having some discussion, and they're losing by a touchdown, and it's in the last quarter. And the head coach, he did something to what Stephen said later. He overrode the offensive coordinator. And I never forget just watching as a dad from the stands, he pointed at Stephen and told him to come over there. And then while Stephen was there, you know, he grabbed Stephen's face mask. He's talking to him like this. And he's telling Stephen confirmed later, he's telling him, you know, the play that we run in practice. And Stephen is saying, yes, he's got his face mask, you know. And he said, you're going to run that play just like we run it in practice. And so he told the head coach, made the offensive coordinator run the play. And the play was designed so Stephen runs down one side of the field, and the quarterback steps back and throws the ball to the completely opposite side of the field. The quarterback's going to throw the ball about 40 yards to the opposite side of the field. Stephen's on this side. The ball's going this side. And the quarterback has to throw the ball before Stephen is ever anywhere near there. So it looks like the quarterback is throwing the ball just to an empty part of the field. The other team, when Stephen lined up on the wide out, they double teamed him, lined up two defenders to defend him. And I'll never forget what happened. Stephen took off like a bullet down the right side of the field. The quarterback stepped back and just threw the ball in the air where there's not even a soul over there. And at just the right moment, Stephen cut left, turned on the jets, ran all the way over there, barely outran his defenders, caught the ball, then cut right, ran in front for a touchdown, tied the game. You know, Stephen always talking about me because I had it on videotape. You know, I'm taping it, but I got so excited as a dad, the tape looks like that. They tied the game. The coach called him right back there, grabbed his face mask again, did like that. Stephen said, yes, sir. They went back to run the same play, won the game on another touchdown. Okay, what's your point? You bragging about your son? Well, a little bit. But no, my real point is, it's about God's timing. Because God, you have to be concerned not just with his will, but you have to be concerned about his timing. He's a God of impeccable timing. He is an on-time God, but listen to me now. We have to be obedient to what he tells us to do. And sometimes God steps back as the provider and throws the ball where he told us to go. And if we don't obey him and go do what he's telling us to do, the provision will be over there where he told us to go. I wish I had a bigger amen on that. I said, he's an awesome on-time God. And we have to remember that. Remember that God is always faithful. And I don't care what you've been through. You know, we've all been through things in our life. And sometimes life has a way of sometimes not going according to plan. Well, guess what? We live in a fallen world. We live in a human world. We're all human, and we live in a fallen world. But God has never ceased to be good. He has never ceased to be faithful. He has never ceased to be on time. He's faithful. Look at Psalm 36, verse 5. Psalm 36, verse 5. You got to run with me quick now. 36, verse 5. You know what it says? It says, your loving kindness, O Lord, extends to the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches the skies. God's faithful to you. No matter what you're going through, you say, well, I went through some changes, Brother Bill. I've suffered some hardships. I've gone through some things and situations and circumstances. I never thought I would have to face that. I never thought I would have to go through that. My brother and sister, I you know, facing the death of both of my parents, I can tell you I was not ready for either of them to go. Navigating the waters of divorce, I can tell you I never wanted that to happen. But I can tell you this, God was faithful through every situation, through every circumstance, through every trial I've ever faced. God has proven himself faithful, and God has proven himself to be an on-time God, and he is an on-time God to you. And hey, the word declares, Psalm 89, verse 1, I will sing of the loving kindness of the Lord forever. To all generations, I will make known your faithfulness with my mouth. Yes, I said he's worthy. He's worthy. And when it seems like he's let you down, when it seems that God has failed you, you need to remind yourself that he's an on-time God. You need to remind yourself that he's a faithful God. You need to remind yourself that he will never let you down. You need to remind yourself of the blessings of how God came through. I'm talking about you. Came through. I'm talking about you. He came through for you. I'm talking about what he did for you. God has come through for you again and again and again and again and again. The Lord has helped you. On your knees, he has helped you. Your hands in the air, he has helped you. He helped you down there on the job. He helped you get a car. He helped you buy that house. He healed your body. He turned situations and circumstances around for you. He helped your children, your family. God has changed situations and circumstances for you again and again and again. And I came to tell you tonight, I don't care what you're going through, God, he's faithful. And you say, well, some auntie died or grandma died, and I don't know why. Okay, we all face circumstances like that, but that doesn't mean God is not faithful. God is still faithful. Never measure him by the weight of your experience. Let your experience line up with the word. I wish I had a bigger amen than that. I said, whatever your experience is, that's all right, but let your experience line up with the word. The word is our litmus test. The word is what we use. God is faithful. The Hebrew boys at the Nebuchadnezzar telling them, I'm going to give you one last chance to fall down and worship me. You remember what they said in Daniel 3. They said, we don't even have to answer you. God's a faithful God. He'll deliver us from your flame. And if he doesn't deliver us, we're still not going to serve you. Oh, I love that. Made Nebuchadnezzar's face red. The Bible says he was so enraged, he turned the flames up 7 times hotter, threw them into the flames. Even the people who threw him in died because of the heat of the flames. Nebuchadnezzar looked in the flames after he threw the Hebrew boys in, and he saw them in there dancing, except there weren't 3 of them, there was 4 of them. God is faithful. You say, well, I didn't want to go through the fire. Well, if you go through the fire, he'll be right in that fire with you, and you won't get burned, and he'll bring you out, and he'll bring you up, and you won't even smell like smoke when you come through that situation. God will have turned that thing around for you. I know you went through a battle down there on your job. God got a better job for you. God will turn it around for you. I said he's faithful. Remember, he's a faithful God. Remember the importance of timing. Remember that you have to manage through the disappointments of life. And remember, finally, God can make a way where there is no way. God doesn't need your help. God doesn't need your resources. God doesn't need to know what you know. God can do it all by himself. Isaiah 55, verse 8. This is our last scripture for tonight. Isaiah 55, verse 8. His ways are not your ways. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields its seed for the sower and bread for the eater. So is my word that goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. You will go out in joy, be led forth in peace. The mountains and hills will burst in song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. The things that limit you and I, my friend, don't limit our Heavenly Father. So I don't know what your struggle is tonight. I don't know what you're facing, but God told me to come here. I do know that. He told me to come here and to remind you that he is faithful. He's always on time, that he's an on-time God. And if you'll trust him right in the middle of your adversity, trust him right in the middle of the flame. Trust him right in the middle of overcoming that sickness. Trust him right in the middle of what you're facing with your children. If you'll trust him right in the middle of all of the hell that's broken out against you, God will bring you through again and again and again. Let's pray. Father, we've endeavored to share what you laid upon our heart for tonight. And we thank you that one of your greatest attributes, Father, you have so many amazing, awesome attributes. And we adore you and love you for every attribute, but your faithfulness is unmatched. You are an on-time God. You have an on-time record that's 100%. You've never failed a single one of us. You are never gonna let us down. We can count on you no matter what the circumstance, no matter how bad the adversity, your word is true. So we trust you. We look to you. Father, we thank you for your peace. We thank you for giving us wisdom. We thank you for ordering our steps. We thank you for forgiving us where we have not been faithful or where we have not clung to your promises or stood faithful to your word. Oh, Father God, thank you for helping our friends, those who are watching online. Thank you for helping all of those here in this live service. Thank you for touching and healing all of those facing COVID symptoms. Thank you for helping our precious friend Becky in the hospital. We just believe for her health, her speedy recovery in the mighty, mighty name of Jesus. We thank you for touching Amanda in the hospital. Thank you for touching Victor and all those you're touching and healing. We just believe you and we just speak your word. We declare your faithfulness and your goodness. Thank you for it, Father. Thank you for seeing us through today and every day. We trust you. In Jesus' name, amen.